Shalom and welcome to another episode of Drash It Like It's Hot. I'm your host, Aaron Perchonik. Today on Meet the Mishpacha, we have our membership coordinator, Pam Hanna. Welcome to the pod, Pam.
Hi, Aaron.
When you came in, you mentioned this is your first time in here, so really welcome to the tech booth and the pod.
I love your neon.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to get started with some questions about your work here, and then go into some more personal stuff, but nothing scary personal, just not work-related, and then end with some rapid-fire questions.
Awesome.
So, first question, how did you get into working as the membership person here at CBI?
The interim director at the time, who I worked with in a previous job, came and asked me on a Monday if I would come work for her on Wednesday, and I took the leap and did that.
Wow. And what were you, have you always done membership stuff?
No, I worked at AT&T Wireless before this, and my job took a drastic change when they closed the division I was in, and I did not want to go back to the call center floor and talk to America about roaming charges anymore. So here I am.
Have you been in your role at CBI since you've been at CBI?
No. The membership role came a few years in, but maybe I always was, but I came in. Okay, we're going to. So, yes. Now that I think about it, yes.
I mean, we've always done some reorganization of who or what exact position is doing what as things change, but sounds like you were at least in the same general place. Awesome.
They sat me down at the computer and said, here, figure that out. I don't know. So that's why I wonder myself how that job started.
So it started, with a two-day turnaround, and you're still here for how long?
18 years.
18 years is your high anniversary.
It is.
So what has kept you here for 18 years?
I love the community and I enjoy working in that sense, you know, getting away from corporate and, that environment has probably kept me here. And it's not to say it's a comfortable job because we work really hard, but it's a great environment with,
Yeah. And we can all see that you put that into your job in the sense that, like, you know more about the congregants. And you know, if someone has a question about who was in charge of some committee 10 years ago, we go to Pam. It's not like, running subscription services for some corporate thing. You get to actually talk to people, talk to the congregants. You hear all about their lives and...
And there's always, more before, and we're getting back to that, but there's always something going on here. You know, there was a program every day or kids and, just something different every day on top of whatever your normal job was, mm-hmm. And is.
Yeah. What's one challenge that you've had to work through, during your time here?
So figuring out things during COVID, of course, was tricky. Not so much working from home, but just not being here as a team, knowing what our members were going through, or kind of how things were going to settle when all that was done was such a mystery to everyone. We were getting calls from other congregations asking how we were handling things it was a mystery and wild time for everybody.
For sure. And then can you share a memorable positive moment that you've had in your time here?
In general, what sticks with me is the people that come up and hug me and really just, have taken me in as part of the community. I like that familiarity, mm-hmm. About working here and relationships and things like that. it's sad to see, you know, the rabbis that have come here and have gone on to be in their own congregations, you know, when they were associates and then going to be senior rabbis later. But it's good to, you know, you meet a lot of, you know, new and interesting people.
Yeah.
Working here for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, so now on to some more fun and personal questions. So what's your favorite book or author?
Oh, see, this is like almost a guilty pleasure that I keep quiet. I read horrible books like Stephen King, and I don't read much now as a parent who's tired. But before it was, you know, Anne Rice and Stephen King, and I will admittedly say that I loved even the Twilight series and things like that. And,
so fun, relaxing, easy.
Yeah, escapes, like, things yeah, like that. Yeah, so yeah. If I were to pick a book now, I would say Queen of the Damned by Anne Rice was probably one of my favorite books.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, if you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be? And also, people have taken this question as like, if you could just pick anyone in the world who's still here or not and have dinner.
Well, I can't think of historical, but I would love to. I miss Robin Williams dearly. I took that rather hard when he passed, and his acting and comedy and just goofiness in the world is what I not thrive for, but live in. And I would love to see his face and hear him again.
Right there with you. That was the first, maybe the only, well, that was certainly the first like celebrity death that actually hit me and was not just like, oh no. Right.
Yeah,
right. But it was like, hard. Oh, we don't get Robin Williams anymore.
No, that gutted me.
yeah. Awful. What's a hobby or activity you like to do outside of work?
It's funny, now I am a basketball mom, so my world has been that for a little bit. But I used to love to swim and walk and even just sit in a park. I love being outdoors when it's not 150 degrees outside, and travel. I love to get to Santa Fe and Colorado when I can, and see things that aren't, you know, everyday life home.
Right. So perfect segue to the next question. What's the most interesting or your favorite place that you've gotten to travel to or see?
When I was 13, I got to go spend the summer in London, and the people I stayed with took a vacation to France. So that was great. I want to return there as an adult. But in my time as an adult, I love, you know, I've been to Seattle and San Francisco and, all over. I have not been to the East Coast much, and I'm dying to get to Boston and do all of the Salem and that part of the world.
For sure. So if you weren't doing member coordination at CBI, what do you think you'd be doing?
Probably working a front desk somewhere. I hope to keep my jobs, if there are any changes, easy from here on out. You know, I think if I'm retired and working the front desk at the dentist office or something like that, if I felt like being on my feet all day, I would work at a plant shop or the liquor store because I love all the bottles in the window, or a flower shop because, you know, I love flowers, something off. But it drove a mail Jeep in my 20s on the right side of the car.
Wow.
That was fun.
That is a random fact. That's good. Okay. Oh, last one for this section. What's the best piece of advice you've been given?
My grandma used to give me a lot of advice, and she's given me crazy things and funny things, and it's hard to pinpoint one best piece of advice, but she was always big on, you know, making sure that you within yourself were happy, you know, and it didn't matter if you had $5 to your name and are happy, or if you were sitting on a bench and were happy, or, you know, if you flew a plane and that's what make you happy, whatever it was, just make sure that you find whatever that is and be within that.
I love that. So. People used to always, I'm like, I guess later high school maybe, or something. People would ask, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or as an adult, what do you want to be doing in 5 years? My answer was always, I want to be happy.
Yeah. Because
not that I was not happy. Just yeah. like, I don't know what's going to bring me joy then, but that's all that actually matters.
Exactly.
Okay. So on to the last little section of rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite Jewish holiday?
Passover.
Favorite sport or physical activity?
I love watching college football, and I love swimming.
Fantastic. Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Favorite season of the year?
Fall.
So not the 150 degrees.
No, fall.
Beach or mountains?
Oh, both. When I'm on the mountains, I'm a mountain girl. When I'm at the beach, I'm a beach girl.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Bluebell homemade vanilla.
It is the best vanilla.
It is.
No one can argue that. Go-to karaoke song?
Cry Me a River, Justin Timberlake.
As an audio engineer-ish in my previous life, that is a song that I play on new speakers or headphones because the beatboxing in it is so... It's a good way to test out audio things. Yeah, anyway, queso or guac?
Queso.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Pam, for stopping by the Tech Booth studio and being on... the pod.
Thank you.
And now on to the Shinshinim.
I am so excited to invite Ariella and Eyal to come and talk to us this evening. I want to explain the word Shinshin a little bit. When I teach Tanakh, which is Hebrew Bible, I like to explain that in English, we usually say the letters of an acronym like FBI, CIA, and some agencies that aren't police. And in Israel, they usually say the word, like Rashi and Rambam and people who aren't rabbis. But now I'm being proven wrong because here we're saying the letters of the acronym Shin Shin, which stands for Shanat Sherut, a year of service, that Ariella Goldstein and Eyal Butbul are in the process of serving. So this Shin Shin, Shanat Sherut, is a year of service that before they go into Tzahal, into the Israeli army, they are serving here at Shalom Austin, serving the entire Austin Jewish community. And they are going to speak a little bit about their experience this year and about what they do for us in Austin right now. So please welcome. Hi, good to see you. Shabbat shalom. Of course. Shabbat shalom.
Hi, everyone. First of all, I'd love to thank you.
You know there's a microphone, you have to talk loud.
Okay. Wait.
Sure.
Is this one? Is this better? Yeah. Okay. Hi, everyone. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Rabbi, for this incredible observation, which I don't think I've ever thought of before. I love learning new things every day. I'm Ariella, and...
My name is Eyal Butbul, and as Rabbi said, we are the Shinshinim here in Austin. I recognize some of you from today's bingo that we played together. So basically we're here volunteering in the community at Shalom Austin, but also outside in here in other synagogues and temples, and also in the non-Jewish communities that we have here in Austin, in Sun City, and everywhere. And I want to say the Mazal Tov to you. I can't remember your name, but you're twice Chai. Jeffrey, yesterday was my Chai. So... So we are almost the same. yeah. And
So we're here to, our main goal is to come in and basically serve the Jewish community and to get to learn from you guys about American Jewry, and also teach you guys a bit about our experiences in Israel and how it is growing up in Israel as teenagers. And that's our goal of coming here. We're very excited to meet people and get to know people throughout the year. We just graduated high school 3 months ago. We've been here for 2 months now, right? Almost three?
Two and a half.
And we're going to be here for another until like the end of August. And we're very excited to meet people and learn mainly.
So if you all have any questions about us, about, should we talk about us first? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Jerusalem in a traditional family. I majored biology and computer science in high school. I took part in the program called Tevel. It's the youth program of the Stand With Us organization. I hope you'll know it. And this program is a leadership and public diplomacy program.
Sorry, my son totally took his elective was diplomacy at Mohsen Zohn, and he also took this. So that's all.
Yay. I would love to meet him.
Yes.
And here I'm working at the Tzofim, the Israeli Scouts, BBYO. I'm sure your kids are in some of these youth programs. We volunteer here in the Jewish Sunday school in all over. And I have three little sisters and a dog.
Hi, I'm Ariella. I'm from Tel Aviv, but I was born in Boston. A lot of people ask me why I don't have an Israeli accent. I have three older brothers, and in high school I majored in Jewish studies in Toshba, and after school I was a member of a youth organization called Crembo Wings, kind of like the snack Crembo, but with wings, and we don't actually eat it. The movement's focus is inclusion of kids with and without special needs and building a community on similarities instead of differences. I also volunteered in a music group that had similar values. And here today, I work like Eyal in many organizations in partnership with Shalom Austin, the IAC, all the synagogues in town, and a bit of outreach outside, including some non-Jewish organizations. And our goal is to share about Israel. And yeah.
So any questions?
Oh, I also have a dog, very important to add.
Okay, if we're going to do questions, I'm going to invite you to turn the microphone on the stand on.
That stands
and you'll
on
use
it,
that one.
All
and
right.
I'll bring this one with me.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Yes,
from
if
here?
You keep speaking, Aaron will turn it up.
Okay.
So we're good. So yeah. It'll get you.
All right.
All right. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it does.
Wait, y'all have majors in high school?
I knew that.
Yes.
Yes, so it's different. I forgot about it. So in Israel, you need to choose. You're not choosing classes that you're taking. You have your own classroom. It's called the mother classroom.
It's like homeroom.
Homeroom. And you basically learn everything in this classroom, but you go to like 2 hours a day to learn your major. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
You have like your must lessons, like history and math, but also math is not all together, but no. History and let's say Hebrew, and then you can choose to go to computer science or Toshba or anything else.
Many others.
Yeah.
So I think also to note, in Israel, middle school goes to grade 9.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
High school is grade 10, 11, 12.
Right.
Yeah, so you're typically with your homeroom class for most of the day, but even when you're not, it's not like different classes in a schedule. It's like everyone has math, but you split up with other classes based off of levels. Or like during, I don't know if your mother class had, everyone was in the same major, but in my mother class, homeroom class, we all had different majors. So we'd have like major time in our schedule and everyone would split up into the correct classrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So how did you get into this program? What inspired you to do this?
So currently, what inspired us, or physically, how did we get here?
What inspired us?
Yeah. So for me, I was born in Boston, and I have three older brothers. So my whole family kind of grew up in a very American Jewry place. And like my brothers identify as Americans, and yet because of the age gap, my family made Aliyah when I was 5 years old. So I was put straight into Israeli education, and I got the benefits of learning how to read in Hebrew before reading in English. So I learned to fully be Israeli, and I knew there was something out there about the Jewish community in America and around the diaspora that's so special. Because if my family didn't have the connection to American Jewry and the connection to Israel through the community, I probably would have been in a different spot today. And I'm very grateful for the life that I have in Israel, and I know it wouldn't be possible without the communities that are abroad. So this is my way of coming and learning about how my family grew up and how my cousins that are still here live, and also getting to build the connection for other people possibly.
So as I said, I spent 3 years volunteering for Stand With Us. And during the second year of the program, they focus on connecting the Israelis that are in the program and some American Jewish communities. So my partnership was with Atlanta, and we had this beautiful project that I did with another partner from Atlanta that we cooked together with Israeli chefs and American Jewish families. And I saw that this connection is really deep, even if it's just making food together. We need each other, and we are laying on each other on many things. Even if it's food or at war, we need each other supporting outside of Israel. So that's what inspired me for coming here. And I want to say that we applied for this program over a year ago, before the war happened. Was last June, yeah. Like
the June of it was like the summer of like before our senior year when we started applying for this program.
So you apply, and then you have 10 months of tests and social tests. They check everything about you. Everything, don't even ask. And then at the end, the community is the one that's choosing you, and you can just be without a community, and you're not going to be in the program. So Austin chose us, being here with you. And we couldn't even say no, but I'm not saying anything about that. I love it here.
Yeah.
I know
how you feel. Yeah. Yeah. It really is an amazing program to end up in Austin. And just like us two here in Austin, there's 213 of us around the world. It's beautiful to see all our fellow Shinshinim in different communities and hearing their stories too.
You said you're from Tel Aviv and you're from Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
I wondered if you each could tell us a little bit about how those places are similar and different in terms of everything, right? Demographics and prosperity, yeah. Income, culture, everything. Like for those of us who've never been there, please tell us what it's like.
First of all, I think that you should go.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I know. So I will speak about Jerusalem, that I live in a neighborhood called Ramat Bet HaKerem. It's a kind of new neighborhood, young families. But the other side, Bet HaKerem, is very old people. Like old, 100 years old. So we are both connecting together. And this is what's beautiful about this part of Jerusalem, that is also very young families living together with older environment. It really depends where you go and when you go. So in, let's say, the Kotel area, the Western Wall area, will be more Haredi, ultra-Orthodox environment, but you can go. It's just, that's the environment that lives there. But most of the neighborhoods are just like us.
Yeah, in Tel Aviv, there's a lot of activity going on. It feels like the city that never stops. And just as it is the city that never stops, parking can also be very problematic. I live in the Old North, so I live kind of near Dizengoff, which is like full of stores and entertaining things that constantly happen. And I also live walking distance from the beach, which is really nice. And it's just a really fun environment to, very city-like environment to be in. Yeah.
So I need to know whether somebody's planned Thanksgiving for you.
So we're both not gonna be here.
Yeah.
We're traveling to our friends in different communities.
Yeah.
Like Shinshinim, and she's going to visit her family.
Yeah.
So you're not gonna be here, but thank you.
Thank you so much. I have some family in Connecticut and New York. Not here, here, like.
Like here in the U.S.
Yeah, Texas is very a unique and wonderful state to be in.
Hold on, we need a microphone so people online can hear you. So go ahead.
Have you seen any of those, like, novelty waffles that are shaped like Texas yet?
Waffles, I haven't, but I was very surprised to walk into an HEB in the frozen section and see the Texas-shaped chicken nuggets, because there were three fridges of that, and in Israel we typically have, like, three fridges of a dinosaur or a star. Not a steak.
Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Had y'all already met before Austin chose y'all, or, like, just after y'all got assigned?
So after they told us that we were together, we met. We didn't know each other. No.
Hello. Have y'all been to Bucky's yet?
They told me that I need to go, but no, not yet.
This requires a road trip. So you need to go on a road trip.
Uh-huh.
I would like to volunteer to take you to Bucky's.
We'd love to come.
Because it's still new to me, too. And I still don't. I don't know what I'm doing in there, so.
You could go to Bastrop and visit the pie machine at Birdall Nut Farm, and there's a Bucky's out there.
Well, all right. We'll do all that.
Yeah.
We'll bring Michal, too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
One more.
One more? Ah.
I have been to Israel, and it's a beautiful country. And I'm just curious about your sentiments as the younger population in Israel, and how do you see the future of your country?
Deep.
Yeah.
We're ending late.
I think growing up in Israel, there's this sense of, like, community and, like, willingness to kind of live in a very beautiful dynamic where, like, I think a childhood elsewhere isn't as freeing. I think, like, at a very young age, we both would, like, probably, I'm assuming for you too, like, we'd leave our houses, we'd walk to friends' houses, we'd go places, and our parents wouldn't worry so much. And I think it's an amazing and safe place to grow up is in. And it's just, for me, it's like the sentiment is that it's like our home, but there's like no place we'd rather be in also. It's like the one place.
I agree with Ariella. Well, it's not a lie that we need our army and we need to be all together the Israelis to stay together, and no matter what you are or where you're from, so you can have this political opinion on the other one, it doesn't matter. We are all together, and I know this world might be taking too long, and it might seem like that, but we need together to just keep going. And I think that the future is also the young population, but it's also the people who haven't born yet. It's just, well, okay. I will say that I was raised to go to the army. Like, no one said you're not going. It never was a thing. You grow up and you know that you're gonna serve at one point. And I think that this is a big part of being Israeli. You're not doubting if you will go, it's where will you go. So I think that this is going to be a big part of the future of Israel. Being like, the army will not disappear. We need it. But also, we need each other, as I said. So I think that the future is being together.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you to Shin Shinim, and thank you, Pam, for stopping by for Meet the Mishpacha. Next week, we will be taking off because there will be no drash. It is the service that was pre-recorded for the day after Thanksgiving. It will go live on YouTube as a normal service would. So until 2 weeks from now, Shabbat Shalom, Shavua Tov.